Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the L.A. Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And Leo. Lila always jumps the gun, though. She's always right there at the first second of the opening. I'm so impressed. But anyway.
I don't like to let a second go by.
No, but you are right there. And we're going to have George Dixon on with us tonight. And I just spoke to him a little while ago. He's going to be with us. And we're going to be talking about the Mayan calendar tonight, but we're going to discuss the specific timeline that we're in. He stated it was 1954, which is an interesting period because
What was 1954? Movie actresses. Studio people.
Well, not just that, but there's the McCarthy era and all kinds of stuff. So hello.
Welcome, George.
Hello, folks.
How are you?
And it was also the year that the movie Baby Huey was introduced. Do you remember that?
Baby Huey?
The cartoon Baby Huey, but I don't remember.
That's right.
I remember the cartoon. It was really funny.
What was Baby Huey?
He was a mama's boy, chicken.
Well, anyways, it was just a popular movie of the era, that's for sure.
Okay.
On the Waterfront was, I think, that won Academy Award that year.
Did it come out as a cartoon or did it come out as
a movie?
As a movie.
With Marlon Brando.
He played Baby Huey?
No, he played on the Waterfront.
What were you saying, Baby Huey?
Well, that was a favorite movie that came out in 1954.
Was that the cartoon Rooster?
I believe so.
Well, that was the star?
No. It was a duck, I think.
He was a big rooster.
Yeah.
It was like what was that rooster? Ahorn or whatever his name was.
Foghorn Leghorn.
Foghorn Leghorn.
That's right.
But
it takes you back, anyway.
Oh, Baby Huey.
I don't remember any of this, or I'd bypass me.
No, but he's become an American icon, Baby Huey. I mean, anytime you think of a big mama's boy, a big kid mama's boy, all right, you think of Baby Huey. You know what I mean? Kind of retarded, a little slow, and it's just hysterical.
We can't single out those people nowadays.
Yeah, it's not politically correct.
That's right.
But however,
the start of the yuppies.
Well, the yuppies
the
are
yuppie,
all good.
Everybody's above average.
No, but
and
they,
all kids are good looking, and that's the way it is.
No,
there are no
right.
students within yuppies.
No,
they're
most,
all bees.
No. But
yes,
most
they
of the,
are.
Most of the yuppie children are baby yuppies.
You know, I take a look at the Academy Award movies for the year and so forth, and really they depict basically where we're at, where our thinking is at. And, I use this as a focus point. I'm going back to the movies of 1954, which is represented in the Mayan calendar as part of the sixth day. Now, in the sixth day we've started, which will take 1 year to complete. And if we go back to the last cycle, it took 19.7, or actually 20 years, for it to complete itself. So we're experiencing in 1 year what was experienced between 1951 and 1970.
Wow.
So we're at a stage where in 1954, this is where our consciousness was. And what I'm saying is in following the movies or the focus of the people at the time, it gives you an idea or an understanding of where our thinking is.
Well, from 1954 to 1971, that was a revolutionary period of time.
Sure, it was a renaissance.
Yeah,
it was a renaissance and, the flower children are breaking away from
rock and roll and, the emergence of rock and roll and R&B, and then you had the... And then you had the '60s, and then you had the flower kids, and you had the acids, and the acid generation, and then you had the peace movements, and then you had the assassinations of liberalism, and you know, you had everything happen in that period of time.
You had quite a bit going on.
Well, you had the
assassination of Martin Luther King,
Malcolm X,
John Kennedy, and Robert Kennedy.
Right, and there was one other in there too.
Let's see. There was five.
There was actually five assassinations in that period. Malcolm X, Martin Luther King,
John Kennedy,
Robert Kennedy, and one more.
Who's the fifth?
Oh, John Lennon.
Yes, John Lennon.
That was in 1980. So between 1954, you had the involvement of Elvis and the Beatles and the Stones.
The Everly Brothers.
And then you had the, you know, count those guys, and then the Beach Boys. Okay, and then all this movement.
But the biggest thing that happened was that the voice and the face of liberalism was destroyed during that period.
Well, it began.
Yep.
And by the 70s, it was destroyed. By the mid 70s, it was gone.
All right. So let's instead of combining this all together, let's break it down now. Of course, these are part of the events or things that came out of this period.
Mm-hmm.
But this period, we're in a small fraction of that. So let's back it up in a sense in taking a look at where we were at the times, the changes that we had towards society, like on the waterfront, fighting the mob and so forth and just making a buck. But that was an example of where the more of the undesirables that were left after the war and the war times or war children.
Well, I don't know what you mean, George.
I'm puzzled.
I mean, are you talking about the
basic expansion, I think, of just growth of going through this new era instead of having to worry about covering your back. It's just it was a different time. It was hard for people to make the adjustment.
Well,
one adjustment I'm talking about is, let's say, people who lived on farms in rural areas. You know, they had to come to the city, and it was there was a big change in their lives in the way they thought, the way they think, and how they provided for themselves. But I'm saying it was just a different time. Another movie that came out that year was 1954 was The High and the Mighty. And the basis of the movie was an airplane that was going abroad over the ocean, piloted by John Wayne. And it's a matter of having to deal with an engine problem. And they were... They were past that 50% or half the mileage where they couldn't turn back. They had to go forward, and I think it's a struggle not only the pilot in making this decision, but it was also the people on the plane who were going through different turmoils with their own lives. But I think it was a time where people dealt with what they knew was right, and tried not to keep up with the flow of new times or new thinking or new expansion.
Well, what we're dealing with now, George, I'm beginning to understand this. 1954, you're about right, because that's when Elvis and
it's when they put their first foot forward.
No, yeah, but well, who the hell did Johnny B. Goode there?
Chuck Berry?
Chuck Berry, yeah.
Yeah.
Elvis Presley, Chuck Berry, Jerry Lee Lewis, and all these guys, all right, all started to merge in the 50s, okay, and then in the early 60s. And by the early 60s, then...
With the Beatles.
No, not only the Beatles, but before them were the Dylans and the Joan Baez's and the Judy Collins and the folk music that
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
And Barry or something.
Mary.
Yeah, yeah. And then from there you got the Beatles, the British invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and from there, after that, you got the San Francisco Grateful Dead, the whole acid generation from that point, around 65, 66, 67, and you were right in the middle of the nasty Vietnam War, and then in 68 and 69 you had Woodstock in 69, and then in 70 you had Monterey. And Altamont, which was the destruction actually of that whole movement, because I was when the Stones gave that concert in Altamont, California, there, and they had the Hell's Angels, killed a couple guys, and then from there you got into '70s, then all the rock and roll people all died off through acid and not through acid but through heroin. Yeah, between plane accidents, but mostly through drug overdoses. Janis Joplin and all the Hendrix and all these guys. So everybody was in drug rehab by the mid '70s. So so what happened was
dead.
So that period of time from '54, that 20 years, basically that 20 year period.
That was a musical renaissance.
Was not only musical but artistic and literary and. Everything. It was a Renaissance period for extreme liberalism, and unfortunately it was adulterated by excessive drug use. So you know it kind of died out, and then in the '80s you got the extreme conservatism.
But Leo, you know, if you sit back, you can actually watch the evolution of where they got to. Let's say in 1970. I mean, it just doesn't happen overnight. There were events in between that were played out.
This
is what's being played out, in a sense.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, sure.
This way you can actually follow the evolution that it originally took, but actually follow the evolution in motion without jumping, let's say, to the end. Because at the end, a lot of things, a lot of good things, a lot of bad things came out of that.
But if you look between 1940, let's say post-war, 1945 to up until 1954, or even 53. The Queen of England was crowned in 1953, mm-hmm. and in 1954, you had the you were in the Eisenhower administration. 1952, 53, 54, 55, and he had two terms. So the whole period was a post-war boom. Okay, and in that period you had the like the comeback of the veterans and the VA bill and the baby boom. You know what I mean? All the baby boomers.
Everybody
were born.
Was going to college.
Yeah, but between 1945 and 60 or so, there was a huge baby boom. Everybody
and
was.
People were buying houses.
Oh yeah, I mean
and
the VA bill
people
was.
People going
every,
to college
yeah.
and expanding their education.
Yeah.
Our superstructure was built or designed and built. The Eisenhower ways.
Yeah, and it was a Renaissance period, and then you got the Kennedy period, which was the icing on the cake, the Camelot, the
mm-hmm.
shot to the moon, the super liberalism, and then he was shot dead because he was because not only did he print $4 trillion and tried to get rid of the Federal Reserve, but he also wanted to get out of Vietnam and go to the moon and do all these things, and it was something that the old guard couldn't handle.
Yeah, but Leo, I think that will come along probably in July, and we can actually follow that unfold, Kennedy. But we haven't moved ahead that fast yet. We're only in 1954.
So you think Obama will wind up being assassinated and and will wind up getting a lughead Biden?
No. Why would I think that?
Well, no, I'm only saying that if if the timeline is correct and that's what happens, okay, Obama might have a good one.
Or they'll see some They'll try, maybe.
Yeah, might have
maybe
one
they
good year. Might have one good year, and then you got Lughead for the next 3 years.
Oh, that's a horrible thought.
Yeah, the thought of having Biden as your goddamn president is so, you know, the world will wind up looking like Trenton, New Jersey, you know what I mean? Scranton.
The trick is don't take it personally, and, you know, there's always another side to the coin, you know?
Yeah, but...
So,
take that one personally, just like I do Bush. I don't like either one of them.
No, and Bush was a nightmare from hell, and...
Well, like, the good part about it, Leo, is that his time is almost over.
I'm amazed that nobody shot his ass off the planet Earth, you know. It's like, hey,
we don't know. There might have been many attempts that were not
There were millions of attempts on his life, but, you know, for threats anyway.
Certainly,
but
one of the most hated people on the planet.
Yeah, but the thing is that
that's his legacy.
Yeah, but let me finish. The thing is that when you know. The devils, they never get killed. Oh, the worst people, they never get killed. It's always the best people that get killed, you know?
They regenerate. It's like a snake.
Bush Senior, you know, probably one of the worst presidents ever.
Around forever.
He left his office with a 27% approval rating. It amazes me that this asshole gets a 31% approval rating before he leaves office, which is I don't know how he. You know, I'm just convinced, George, that at least one third of this nation is totally, absolutely brain dead. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
They walk around on all fours, you know, and they drink sewer water. I mean, that's the kind. I'm convinced of that. I'm absolutely convinced after years with George Bush that 31% of this country,
right.
One third.
You're right. They do drink
absolute crawlers.
They drink soda, which is equivalent. To
sewer
water.
But no,
right.
I mean they're absolute crawlers. You know what I mean? Where you know, maybe you got 2/3 of this country that is somewhat sane, okay? But there is a third of this country, and I swear to God, they are crawlers, okay, on all fours. All right? So and they are the ones that support George Bush. All right. So anyway,
right to the end.
Right to the very
end. There you go.
Yeah.
No matter what he does, they support.
Yeah, man, woman, child, beast, dog, cat, horse, you know, whatever makes up the Republican voting, whatever makes up their base, okay?
Well, we have, certainly on the liberal side, they're equally numb individuals.
Oh, but not crawlers.
Oh, sure.
I think they walk on two legs.
No. Any party that could put up John Kerry...
Well, that's true.
Come on.
That's true. Any party that can put him up is a crawler.
Who on his cumulative average was lower than George W. Bush?
Yeah. Not only in his IQ, but in his total persona, was John Kerry. So if you get that, then maybe you got crawlers on two sides of the fence.
Sure you do.
But nevertheless... Yeah,
let me tell you some good news that came out of 1954.
What was that?
And it was the ending of rationing for all of Britain. Britain was under rationing for food, for gas, for tires, or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it was a time when they came out of that. Isn't that something?
Oh, that's good.
Well, they had a queen in 1953. They crowned a new queen there, Queen Elizabeth.
There you go.
So
I guess she put an end to that rationing garbage, huh?
But, you know, David Icke says she's a reptile, so what the hell?
Well, on another good note, it was the first time that we launched a nuclear submarine.
Submarine?
The Nautilus.
Oh, 1954?
That's right. So, if nothing else, that led the way in some of the best technology of our era, besides going to the moon at the end of this period that we're in now. But that's to come yet. I mean, if one step at a time.
Now, when will that be? And when will it equal 1960 whatever?
1969?
Yeah.
Uh, I don't know. I'd have to work it out.
Well, we'll let you work it out for the next show. But I was
all right. We'll do that next show. But yeah, that's probably in September.
For this year, right?
Yeah, so, this year.
What's gonna happen in September, George?
I hope it warms up, because I tell you, this cold wave that's going through the country is really cold.
Well,
just feel for some of these people out in the Midwest.
My daughter was born in 1971,
yes.
And the day that she was born, which was January 28th, at around 8:05 in the morning, it was about 20 degrees below zero.
Ooh, 20 degrees.
It was a freezing cold January, and I remember I don't think she went outside, saw the light of day really outside until April.
Mm-hmm.
It was that cold a winter, just like this.
1971.
And that was 1971. The only reason I remember it is because she was born that year.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I really couldn't take her outside for about 2 months.
Well, anyway, so 1954, you said it was the McCarthy period, which was right. That's when McCarthy, we had him then.
Yes, yeah.
But, I mean, there were a lot of things that happened at that time, the more I think about it. There was rock and roll started. You know, the McCarthy era began, the exposure of the Communist Party and the infiltration of the communism in this country, the birth basically of I don't know when that exactly happened. It was about that time.
Mm-hmm.
The birth of the John Birch Society, the nuances of the birth of the. Well, no. Actually, the Communist Party started in the Great during the Great Depression. This country, the cold.
Well, they were persecuted.
It's actually
the
budding of the Renaissance.
What's that?
The budding of the Renaissance.
Right.
It's that budding period of this Renaissance period that we're in, and just like the Birchers, I mean, they had an early stronghold, and they were on. They've been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's the Renaissance, and I think what they offered, you know, the American people, an understanding of government and how it works and so forth.
That's right.
And
then
LaRouche is another one.
And then it was then what happened is the liberal elite of this country just kind of destroyed their asses and brought them down, and then you saw what the control was. Wow, the control.
Actually, it wasn't the liberal elite. It was people like who called themselves Republicans, like William Buckley.
Mm-hmm.
He was a CIA agent.
Yeah.
You know, and he was an infiltrator, and that was well known, and the CIA and the Birch people called him out on that. But he was well known as a CIA operative, and in the 50s and 60s. So that was his claim to fame, and a lot of money went behind that National Review, and they're still funded by the CIA. You know, these are all special ops. You know what amazed me was Ms. Magazine with Gloria Steinem. She's also her operation was funded by the U.S. government, by the CIA, and the reason they did that was to infiltrate these areas, the feminists. Conservatives, the communists, the social websites, social communist websites, all of these things, they're all funded by basically the same. All their funding goes back to the CIA. Okay, and I not only did I know that, I mean I've seen that in about like 8 or 10 different sources and confirmed that have confirmed that their fundings are all from CIA and black operations. You know. To divide and conquer, basically. To what they want to do is they want to get all these people who think differently, the right and the left, and basically keep them isolated so they don't, you know, and find out what they're doing, because they believe that there's extremists in each group, you know, and so on and so forth. So it's a long, long history of government infiltration into the rights and privacy and political processes of the American people.
Well, I think the constraints that they have now are going to be abolished because of a new way of dealing with this. You know, this this espionage stuff is a thing of the past now, where they can actually tune in and know exactly what's going on more so than they did, let's say, 5 years ago. I mean,
you go down the street here, and every corner
you got, well, on some of your major cities, you have cameras on a corner that can take pictures of anything and everything that goes on.
Well,
you take a look at nightly news, and a lot of these people are arrested for, you know, robbing convenience stores and gas stations, and you know, those cameras picking up everything.
Sure, but it's like this. I mean, if people wanted to know, if anybody wants to know what Leo, Lila, and George are thinking at this moment, all you have to do is tune into the show, all right, which is publicly announced and known. Right, or they go to my website, or they go, you know, you know what I mean? So, in other words, or they listen to whatever programs. They can go back to almost 400 radio programs on Blog Talk and find out what we're talking about. So, what we're doing, I find that if you make it all public, you know what I mean, what you're thinking, then people know what you're thinking. And, you know, they may like it or dislike it or, you know, be indifferent to it. But the fact is that it's out there. And I don't have anything to hide in that respect. I wear my politics and my spirituality on my sleeve. And, you know, and the signs are on the top of my head. I wear a hat, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? So up yours, and I don't care if you know what I know. And, you know, this is what I know, and if you want to come and listen to what I know, all right, or what we want to know, what we're trying to learn, then you're more than welcome. But, you know, spying, you know, is insane. You know, my thoughts are as open as yours are, or more so probably, you know. So it's like, you know, that's where I stand, and I keep it, you know. That's probably why I haven't been picked up by the NSA or the CIA.
You know, I take a look at this Renaissance period, which is really what we're in right now, the sixth day, and it's hard for me to imagine, you know, in following logic and our linear understanding of, you know, what follows what, I couldn't imagine how things could change other than what had to be exposed was exposed, and it is exposed. And where do you take it from there? And I think this Renaissance period, we're going to get out of this out of this spying business, and it's only going to be a matter of inconvenience, let's say, for us. But I think it's just something we have to finally put to bed, and that's part of this Renaissance, is putting it behind us. We don't need this stuff anymore.
Well, why not? Because they can do remote viewing, they can do anything else, they can grab anything on the internet, they can do anything they want. You know, they can go to YouTube and find somebody, you know, doing somebody else's wife. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you know, you can do anything. You can find out anything today. People are openly giving it to you, you know?
Well.
I mean, I guess. So it's like... What do you want to know, folks? Well, here it is. Okay. Well, you know, do you drink? Do you drink? Do you smoke? Do you do this? Do you do that? Whatever their questions are, you know, it seems like we openly give them. So it's like, you know, what's the difference?
Working with some of my studies and dealing with extraterrestrials and the technology that we have, I mean, I think it was announced last year that we can actually read an EEG of a person's brain and actually have an understanding of what they're thinking and what's going on with them. And, you know, it's only a matter of time where I've seen computer programs where they can hook into your energy system and read you just like they read the matrix of a crystal. And this computer program could tell you, and let's say when you were 5 years old, that you broke your ankle, and the residue from that break would stay within your body, and this computer program was able to tap in and read that. Now, this was very primitive, and I'm going back to the very early 90s, But, you know, with the technology and the computer advancement that we have nowadays, that I do believe that you are a certain frequency, and they have machines and computers that can read these frequencies and actually not only locate you, but also can tap into anything about you. And this goes a step beyond, let's say, some of these microchips. We really don't need that anymore because we deal with the energies themselves, not by a collector.
Hey, I think I understand, but you know what? I guess in some way it really excites me. For a while, I was afraid of it, but now it really excites me. Is what we're about to experience in 2012. You know, I read something last night which was fascinating on the show on the Agni Yoga series that we were doing, and it mentioned that things happen, these waves of activity, these waves of synchronicity, these waves of action and during the course of humanity, during time. It's like they equated it to a wave syndrome. And the waves, they say, can take usually up to 3 years. It's usually a 3-year period between the crest and the swell.
And the roll-out pattern.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It can be generally 3 years. And it's funny that they mentioned that because we are now in 2009, and 3 years from now you'll have that period. But it said you must sow your seeds, sow the seeds during this period, all right? And now this book was written in 1927, so there was as many, periods of 3 years since then. But now we're at that maximum incredible time of 3 years between now and 2012,
mm-hmm.
2009, 2012. And 2012 will mark the time of the end of time as we know it in the end of space. And if that's the case, we must sow our seeds like crazy. We must put out as much seed and as much thought processes and as much as we can between now.
I think in sowing the seed is more of your intent. Your
yeah.
intent of your focus in your life but in your spiritual
right.
drive.
But what it's saying is, because at the end of that third year period, all right, what will happen is all that you put down will come to fruition.
Fruition, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So what we're saying is that when you we've talked many times about this, but in 2012 we're supposed to be able to manifest our destiny, manifest our desires.
Be more in control of it.
And
anymore.
Be in control and being
maybe
able,
be more in control, but we do that right now anyways, Leo.
We do, but it'll be much more of a conscious
and maybe
act
it'll be acknowledged.
As opposed to prolonged act.
Mm-hmm.
And now it'll be acknowledged where what came to me is kind of almost a revelation last night when I was reading this work is how it explained that we are only and I thought about Anthony's experience with the holographic imagery and the holographic institutes and all that he's working with, and how we are,
he understands
how
that.
we are really a projection instrument, a projector, and projections.
I think of us more like receivers.
Well, we receive and project. We come in and go, come and go. You know, it's in and out. And we're really projecting what we see and what we believe and what's in our minds, and we project outwards. But as we get enlightened and understand our power as individuals, as co-creators, as we advance toward that part of our evolution, then we are going to be able to basically explode with everything that we desire. Everything will come to us as we wish it to be. Like you say, we do it now, But we'll be much bolder at that point, and things will just be what we want, where we want, and what we want. But also at that point, in 2012, we will ascend, possibly ascend as a species through the course of our evolutionary cycle.
Let's instead of talking about species, let's talk about individuality.
To another dimension, yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know why you would want or look for an acknowledgement from an outside source. The acknowledgement would be you and the change that you'll make between now and 2012, but the change itself will be made by then. But that's not something that can't be judged, you know, from the outside community. This can only be acknowledged by yourself to you, because...
Yeah.
Illusion, this reality that you're striving at or with.
No, you're right. No, you're absolutely right about that. But what I'm getting at is that the individual evolutionary process, okay?
Yes.
And I believe it's different for everybody, because some people gain enlightenment and higher wisdom over others, and they become teachers, and they become, you know, let's face it, there are some people with extraordinary IQs, and there are some people who are morons.
And there are some people with wonderful physical bodies, and some people
without. So it's all an individual reality.
Luck of the draw.
You know, yeah, and everybody has a different reality. But at the same time, through this Mayan calendar, through what they're saying, is regardless of your reality as you exist, you're being pulled, okay, you're going to be pulled toward the other dimension, unless your resistance to it exceeds the pull. And then you'll be retracted and regroup back into what they call the red planet as opposed to the blue planet. And you'll stay within your prison of what you know your third dimensional reality, as opposed to jumping into your fourth dimensional existence, which is
for jumping into the fourth or staying in the third, you know, one is not better than the other. It's just an experience.
Well,
there are times where, you know, you have to go back and repeat a grade, if you don't make the grade the first time.
That's okay.
But, you know, that's something that's built into the system, where the failure is part of the knowledge that's received and the wisdom to know the difference.
That's right.
So, you know, it's just another example or another turn of the coin, or the other side of the coin that is part of it.
But
and just like winning is great, but failure is also great, because they both have purposes.
But this time over any other time, okay, 2012 over any other time in history, all right, that we're aware of, is a time when great expectations will happen and great things are to happen. And those that wish to ascend will. Those who don't wish to, or those who are unable to, due to their karma or due to their inability to see what's happening, will remain, and that's understood. But, you know,
well, it is
up to the individual, and the individual to, if he wants to go, he will. If he doesn't want to go, he'll stay. But I believe that this time, in this period, in 2012, and from what all that we've talked about over the last year or so regarding this topic, is that this is the time that man will ascend to a level to a different level of existence.
Right.
And at that point, whatever that is, we're not sure. But we believe that it will be a period of
tranquility.
Well, not only tranquility, but a period of bliss and a period of harmony with the universe. Mm-hmm. And we will be, we will leave our physical bodies for that transition. And that's my theory. That's my what I think it from what I've read.
Okay.
That's what we'll be able to transcend our physical bodies into that next dimension. We may be able to bring our physical bodies back up there, but it'll be a period where our bodies will not know illness. They will not know death. They will not know there will be no disease. There'll be no anything. We'll be able to conquer all those problems that we face in the third dimension, right? And you know, those who ascend to that level will be, you know, virtually co-creators with their God, with the universe. And that's what
the God of the universe that your focus is at, you know. I remember back Arthur C. Clarke's 2001-2010 series.
Right.
Where, you know, it followed some of the Messianic understandings of the Luciferian Rebellion,
right,
of actually Lucifer being, the Redeemer being born. And part of understanding Arthur C. Clarke's connection with Jupiter and possibly setting Jupiter off, igniting it into another sun. And that would be giving us physically in three dimensions more energies or more light, where we would be more godlike in our control over the third dimension, like the Atlanteans were with crystals. But it's more like God state are actually manifesting anything they want. And that is part of that rebirth. But it's a rebirth into a physical body now, into a third dimension. And it's actually just taking this third-dimensional reality and pumping it up, you know, another level,
right,
physically.
Yeah.
Now,
and
you can do that in the fourth dimension, just like the Pleiadians do. They are fourth-dimensional beings, but they also have third-dimensional bodies. In understanding this Luciferian rebellion, understanding of more light, more energy, also have the understanding of raising up out of this third dimension, getting out of this third dimensional domain, where the spiritual body can experience more of the upper domain realities, just like the Volusians, as one example of beings. And the Syrians from Cirrus. They are physical beings, but
they're basically going between the two dimensions.
That's right, and that
I can understand. But at the same time, you're far, far, far more advanced than those who do not travel between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, from what I can gather, and this is from the teachings of the Agni Yoga, is that those who dwell in the fourth dimension,
mm-hmm,
and fifth and sixth and so on in the different hierarchies,
right,
they are the people that are the spirits that actually guide us through these through the third dimensional evolution.
Well, and they can, yes,
or they are consistently trying. I don't know whether they are, but they say that in these works, they say that they are consistently putting out these messages, always, always, always trying to reach us in this dimension, and
mm-hmm,
trying to teach us the way to reach them, you know, to the summit, to the level of our to describe the pathway to our ascension. Okay, enlightenment or the illumination. And I think at that point, we will be ready. I think many, 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 many millions of people will be ready for that. And I think that's only coming in a few years.
No, I think it's happening right now, Leo.
It's happening now. And I believe there's millions, if not billions, of people on this planet that are feeling that, feeling something, realizing that there is a change going on, that there's a significant consciousness, change of consciousness developing around the world. And soon, and I hope very soon, all of these wars and all of these horrible things that are happening to us and around us and to all these poor people that are being slaughtered and so on, there will be an end to this, you know? And, you know, maybe, and again, who knows? I've often wondered that if the people that are being slaughtered, the people who are dying, these people who are dying as victims, are creating that for a faster, like you have a suicide bomber who thinks they're going to go to heaven as soon as they press the button. Maybe they're right. You know, maybe they're right. Maybe that's one way, that's a quick way to go to go to the next level, you know, to pass over is or to pass through. But, you know, everybody seems to be focused on some specific direction to getting to heaven, you know, or getting at least to the next level.
No, I... Do you think people really think about this?
Oh yeah. Oh, they got to. I'm sure they do every day. I mean, you know, listening to the passengers on that plane that crashed in the Hudson there.
Yeah, that's something.
Yeah, that
God
was
bless them, jeez.
Miracle of miracles. And
yeah.
and there wasn't one person on that seat in those seats that wasn't praying to God to save their lives, you know. Because I saw, I don't know, half a dozen interviews with people that they're all praying and praying and praying that they don't die, you know. But the thing was is that, you know, maybe there was such a group energy,
consciousness,
a group consciousness to be saved that it was channeled through the pilot, and the pilot was able to, you know, bring that plane down in the right way and save everybody's lives. So, you know, you just never know.
You never know, but I'll tell you what, I like that explanation,
yeah.
And I think it's great.
No, the power.
God acted through the pilot, and the pilot pilot saved his passengers.
Right, that's right.
God bless them. There you go.
And the hand
miracles
of
God can happen and do happen.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if that captain said, that pilot said, yeah, God, I'm putting this airplane in your hands. You know what I mean? And just guided it intuitively right into safety. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well.
After 30 years of flying experience, he used every ounce of it to save the passengers. But my theory, and it is a theory, is that what we are collectively is far greater than what we are individually, because if we can channel our collective thought and our collective process to the same goal, all right, then can you imagine what 6 billion people thinking the same thought, you know, could produce? You know,
welcome
what I mean?
To the world of unity consciousness.
There you go.
That's what we're going to.
Unity consciousness. I believe that that's the way that we should be. But at the same time, and that our reality should bear witness to that.
Well, that's what the elders tell us. That's what's going to happen.
There you go.
And, you know, all indigenous tribes say that the same thing. So,
yeah.
You know, what they're saying is what's happening right now. It's a collective consciousness.
Yeah.
And I do believe that
that
collective consciousness, we have tapped into, and now it's integrating it into our lives, into the world that we live in, along with all this craziness that's going on. So I think, if nothing else,
yeah.
We are making contact with one another on very intimate levels that we aren't aware of, and it's just like fourth dimensional beings, how they communicate. And when they communicate with it, it's so subtle, you have to have an understanding of the feelings of this subtle vibration.
Right.
But this unity consciousness definitely is something that the Mayans tell us that we will have, we will unite to. And what we do on a unity scale in going into this new era is something that I couldn't even imagine. And I don't think they can even imagine, because they couldn't even put it in words. So we'll see what happens, my friend.
But I agree, and I believe that the unity consciousness is what we're aiming for, and not only is what's coming, but I'm not sure, George, if I pick this up properly, but this particular accident that happened with the plane.
Yes.
In the Hudson, there was such an excitement, such a joy. So it seemed like, not only was it exuded from the television screen, but it seemed like on the papers, the media, and everything. But it seemed like they were reflecting the miracle of that incredible thing that happened. They were reflecting that energy, that energy of those survivors, and projecting it. And I thought one of the fascinating things was from the governor of New York, who said, we needed a miracle, and this was the miracle. Remember? He said that in a speech yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, Patterson. He said
I didn't hear it, but...
He said this country needed...
Yeah, I could believe that.
This country needed a miracle, and this was our miracle. You know, for all the past, for that to have happened. And I think he was absolutely right. There are things that people have to unite upon, all right? And like, for instance, this Palestinian issue, okay, the destruction of Palestine by Israel. People around the globe are now looking at this and seeing the genocide that's being happening by Palestine, to Palestine, and they're saying, hold it, what the hell is wrong with Israel? What's going on here? And the incredible surge of unity and collective consciousness against Israel,
yes.
All right, and the abomination of that country, all right, and what they're doing is suddenly putting the brakes on. Now,
well,
Israel is going
will,
ahead, and they don't care.
Maybe this will be the time when they finally get the whole issue is clarified,
well,
where there was such a smoke screen in the past.
But that's what the sixth day is supposed to bring.
This is about truth.
A time of clarity, a time
mm-hmm.
of truth, a time of revealing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and that's what the sixth day is supposed to be. And as we look, and you know,
that's what I'm hoping.
The thing that amazes me, George, is not touting my boat here, but tooting my horn. But the thing is that I'm seeing it for the last 6 years, since we've been doing this radio program and being so involved, actively involved with the different movements and things that are going on around the country, and keeping our fingers on the pulse of all this. I have found that in the last 6 years there's been a tremendous surge of energy and focus on almost telepathically, all right, or a synergy that's developed with people of the same mind, same thought, and focusing on this thing. But yet there's the barriers are still there, like the political barriers, the social barriers, the power structures are still there. But that's going to end, and I think it's going to end this year, George. And for some reason,
what do you mean exactly by that?
I think a lot of governments are going to topple. Like, for instance, I just got an email today from a news organization that the Mexican government is about ready to collapse. They've got less than a month before they actually collapse economically, but they're also being infiltrated and taken over by drug gangs and whatnot. But but also pressures from within,
system's imploding.
The system's imploding because it's so corrupt. All right, and so Mexico's on the verge of collapse. And that's going to create a domino effect throughout the South American countries, all right? You're also seeing this country on the verge of economic collapse, okay? I don't care how great Obama may look in the inauguration and how bullshit, all right, everything is still on its way into a collapsing mode. Okay, we're about ready to implode.
Yes, Leo, you're right. It is. But you know what? It's the American people who are going to be able to pick it up and start anew again themselves.
But
it's not having to have other countries or other governments help us. It's the American people is going to help themselves. No government is going to do it. And that's what's going to happen.
I understand, but at the same time, there's
it's an individual march.
It is.
Without a doubt.
But it's a national march as well. And
sure.
Well, not global, it's national, because everybody's out for themselves. Every nation is out to save themselves, and they're going to have to do that.
Yeah, well.
Anthony, I hear you. I see your call here. You on with us?
Yep, I just put him on.
Hey, good evening.
Hi, Anthony. How are you?
I'm doing great. Just listening in. Sorry I'm so late. What's going on tonight?
Oh, we're talking about the same thing, that old Mayan calendar.
No, we're talking about unity consciousness.
And unity consciousness.
We believe that we seem to be unified in our thought processes here tonight, that we are entering a period of unity consciousness and a period of not only a higher consciousness, but one of perhaps ascension consciousness, where we will be enlightened. And I stated that there were billions, I think there are millions, definitely millions, but possibly...
Are being enlightened, not will be.
No, that are becoming enlightened.
There's some people probably already are.
And,
there you go.
There are, sure, yeah. People walking around that are extremely illuminated.
Yeah. It's I think I came in on hearing you, Leo, make mention of the problems that our America and the world are going to face. You know, we're going to create. We are the creators of our reality, and that's the bottom line. And that's it. I mean, if we choose the reality we're going to create, whether you believe it or not, it's
right.
Going to happen, and it's going to manifest, and it's a transformative innate in nature, and you are doing the work that is going to create the reality of our humanity.
Well, when you think about something, before something happens, before you do something, the thought has to happen. And then after the thought, then you make it happen. So you do already create your own reality.
It becomes a synchronization and a synergy amongst an energy. And it's kind of like, George, you brought up that 100 monkey scenario, remember?
Yeah.
All right. Well, the 100 monkey. Once you get 100 people thinking and doing the same
thing. That way, they'll continue, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Continues by itself.
Leo, it just makes my heart heavy to hear you say some of those things, because I know you know better.
What do you mean?
You know, saying that the terrible negative things that I heard going on, when we create that reality. If you continue to speak it, and so it manifests.
Yeah.
But if all you can see is our world coming together, if I know it sounds like a pie in the sky mentality, but you know, instead of competition, we go to a cooperative, humanistic perspective, you know, heart to heart, then, you know, if we can just get maybe 1 out of 10 people thinking that way, and not just thinking, being and living from that energy, then we'll change the world.
But that's what the 100 monkey thing is all about. You get 100 people think the same way, then it takes on a life of its own. All right, and that 101 monkey, okay, in the experiment, without learning anything from anybody, just through osmosis, basically learned to do the same thing as the other 100 monkeys.
It's sort of like reaching critical mass.
Yeah, critical mass.
What it is,
exactly.
With a physical principle.
Like there's critical mass is 50 million people. If you can get 50 million people in the world to fall into to believe one thing or whatever.
Buy one book
or whatever it is. 50 million. Okay. Then what it does is that is that thing takes on a total life of its own.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and it's called critical mass. In fact, and I learned this in
like capitalism too, Anthony.
in economics, any business that reaches the level of $50 million, that's a magical number. I don't know why it is, but $50 million. If you have a value of $50 million net worth, you are considered a player in the global market. Okay, the global stock market, the global investment market.
You know, one of the realities that kind of hit me, not just me, hit our nation yesterday when we, you know, when we all watched that airplane land safely, and out of 155 people on board, 146 didn't even go to the hospital. And look at the change. And I thought about George. I thought about you. You know, I really did think about all these conversations we're having and the times that we're in. And look at that shift. You know, it was the 15th day of the year.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know numerically what that means, but I do know that we were talking about that incredible miracle and that feeling that seemed to permeate the entire country. All right, I mean, it was mirrored by the news media. Probably, what amazed me is for the first time that I can remember. I felt there was some that the news media actually reflected accurately what happened, all right? And not only projected it, but reflected it, but it projected it to us in the interviews with the people and the different things that and that was, and it gave us a tremendous surge of excitement and a tremendous surge of goodwill, okay, toward fellow people, toward fellow men, that, you know, they survived. You know, what a wonderful, wonderful miracle that was. And it gave us almost a cosmic.
Call that old-time news, where you got the good and the bad, but, you know, the simple news,
there's always
something to put a smile on your face.
Yeah.
We just don't do that no more. We glamorize it.
That's right, and that's why I thought it was such a unique moment. And you're right, Anthony, that it was, and it gave a jolt to this country that anything's possible, you know. And I mentioned earlier to George that the governor of New York said this was a miracle that was desperately needed at this moment. You know what I mean? And we needed a miracle, and this was our miracle, which solidified or unified the people of the country to believe in positive thinking.
Well, I think it gave people a sense of appreciation.
Yeah.
And to feel grateful.
But not only for the talents of the pilot who brought that in safely, but also for the will of the people to survive that accident. All right.
That's right.
Now, that unification of mind, spirit, and focus on one thing, and that is on survival, all right? And they survived, and they came out of it. Every single one of them came out alive, and it was just amazing, just an amazing thing. So, yeah. So I think there'll be more of these miracles coming to unify this country, I hope. And,
it would be nice. It would be nice.
Not only about this country, it's about the entire world.
It's about the world.
We're just one part of it. Americans are so self-focused.
But I'm sure this accident was a worldwide news event. You know what I mean? It was just miraculous that everybody survived that crash. It was just amazing. You know,
it's this intervention that I'm looking at, that I'm asking for, because if nothing else, it'll break us and shake us and remind us, you know, who we are and what we are. And you know, I'll take this if this is the intervention we need, if nothing, to bring out the love of the other side of us. God, bring it on. You know, we need more of this, and I think we'll see it.
Yeah.
I know we'll see it. It's not think. I know.
That's right. We are the reality that we want to create. We, the people, have the power now, and that's the shift that's going on. You know, we talk about Obama. Obama's not going to do nothing. You know, we are the consciousness of our world, and the power is in our hands.
You're absolutely right, Anthony. I agree with you. Yeah. People are always looking for a savior. What they really need to recognize is that each one of us is our own savior.
But there are no saviors out there.
You need to save yourself.
But that's just how it is. But if the country can do collectively what those passengers did on that plane,
they saved themselves.
And save themselves, but not only save themselves, but focus directly not only on their faith in God, but in their faith that pilot might have known what he was doing. You know what I mean? And then come out of it alive. That's what we have to do, because
they all contributed
to
positivity and focused on the moment.
That's right.
Whenever you're any kind of crisis that you're in, you live right in that moment. That's why time slows down if you're in something happens to you.
There's no doubt that that pilot was in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the zone. He knew exactly, and he was working exactly.
Well, I guess
exactly
he was well trained, cool.
There's the word. You just hit it right there, in the zone. And you mentioned that in many of your programs, where we are now are in the zone. This is the sixth day. We are in the zone.
That's right. We have to be in the zone.
We are in the zone. We are in the zone. And this experience, this collective experience that we're all going through collectively, what's the flight number anyway?
I don't know.
1567, I think, or something like that. 1567.
Okay. Just like the people in that flight that collectively went. Now, you know, there were just many of them went ahead and continued on with their flight.
Wow.
And they carried on, and they carried on that spirit.
The passengers, you mean?
Yes.
It just went on to different planes, right, and continued.
Okay, so I'm just saying that, Leo, to say, you know, I only brought it up because when I tuned in, I heard you speaking so negatively about the world and about the situation in the world, but that you're creating that, Leo, and it hurts me because I know you know better.
No, but I don't know where you tuned in, Anthony, but I was saying, I don't think I was really saying anything negative. I was saying that these negative things can be turned around, that negativity that we see now and that we're experiencing now can be turned around. And that's what George was saying, because we were discussing the timeline, and the timeline of the Mayan calendar was like 1954. We're equivalent to 1954 at this point. And 1954 was a tremendously significant period, because not only did you have the McCarthy period, you had the emergence of rock and roll, you had the emergence of the civil rights movement, you had the emergence of
a lot of
all kinds of liberalism just started to explode at this period. And then emerged us into the 60s and then into the 70s. So everything that happened during that time, those 20 years from 1954 to, say, 1964, or 74, was unbelievable. It was an explosion of optimism, an explosion of liberalism, explosion
of the founding of the Peace Corps.
Yeah, the founding of everything. Beginning of liberalism, of the movements of liberalism in this country.
People went and got more education through the GI Bill.
Yeah,
people bought houses. There was huge expansion in this country and growth.
Is,
and George mentioned the,
yeah, the, period of
the
baby
building
boomers,
of infrastructure.
I mean, every
and,
family had five and six and seven kids. You know, it's just like a monstrous time of optimism and growth for this country. And that's the period we're in now.
It'll be much compressed, whereas it took 20 years.
It'll only take a year.
It'll only take
maybe
a
2 year.
Years.
But I was saying that what we did on the on my show on Thursday night, as we discussed on the Agni Yoga series, is that these masters stated that everything evolved, that these waves of transitions come in spans of 3 years. And every 3 years, there is this remarkable, there's always this crest of a wave. There's a depression and a crest of a wave. And it says to take, to put all your seeds into this, into now, where into the next 3 years. And it's amazing because the reading now takes place, the book was written in 1927, but the reading now is 2009, and with reference to 2012, which is 3 years from now. So if we involve our focus and direct our focus and our attentions to this miraculous illumination and enlightenment of mankind, all right, and ourselves. I mean, we have to focus on ourselves first. Then that as the wave crests, we will be there, and we will be able to fully enjoy and grasp and experience the experience of that 2012 moment.
Yes, but we have to experience it now, Leo, just like the events, this miraculous event that happened yesterday. You know, people, all they have to do is tap into it or just tune into the emotional feelings on this. And it's like 9/11 all over again. I mean, it was a terrible situation.
Yeah.
But the love that came out of that raised humanity. Now it's taken this love that happened yesterday and just expanding that.
You got to understand, George, 9/11 did nothing to help humanity. What it did is...
It did, Leo. It did.
It was a huge reaction that caused us, the American people, to support an invasion and caused
a
slaughter of thousands of people in the Middle East.
Exactly. And You're right.
But, you know, I'm not looking at it from one point of view. I'm looking at it from both points of view. And my focus is more the good aspects that came out of that. Out of all of it, any event, you have good and you have bad. It's a matter of where you focused your attention. So it's very easy for me to focus on the evilness of 9/11 and all the strings attached, but it's also just as easy for me to tune into the good aspects of what came out of 9/11.
Right.
And just like taking a look at the events of the world now, that crash, we can look at how terrible it was and point the finger on this and that. But no, we went the opposite way, where we're focusing in on a love and the faith and sharing of harm to those people. And it's great. It's bringing us together. But
George,
it didn't...
The diabolical part of that crash, okay, was a couple of flocks of geese, okay, going into the wings. All right? The problem... And nobody died, okay? But the problem with 9/11 was that you had the most diabolical, most sinister, most evil people in the universe, which is these goddamn Bush people, okay, this Bush administration, who diabolically conceived and concocted this 9/11 incident, okay?
Well, Leo, it's almost over. He's about to leave office, so let's put that behind us and look forward. Forget about this. There's nothing we can do about it.
Murder.
Have a moratorium.
Billion Iraqis.
Think about it for a while.
Good is that, George? Okay, nothing is good about that, George. All right, that's not like a flock of geese flying into an airliner and 155 passengers saved. This is 100,000 and millions of people murdered and butchered and killed because of a goddamn sociopathic, maniacal son of a bitch. Okay, who still hasn't come to justice. Okay,
right, but my point is
that
his rule and reign is over. It's almost over,
George,
Leo. So just let it go and let's continue on. There's nothing we can do about it now.
Absolutely nothing good came from this son of a bitch. Nothing good, except millions and millions of lives lost, okay? Trillions and trillions of dollars lost, okay? And an entire generation lost, okay, because of this asshole, this son of a bitch, okay? And that is why. That is why nothing, and I don't say what you say, nothing good came from this person, okay? Nothing. And you can't even compare what 9/11 was to what this incident with the airplane it was. It's impossible, right? You know, everybody lived in this one. Everybody rejoiced, okay? Everybody died under 9/11 and continued to die, and truth died.
Leo.
What?
Leo. I lived.
Yeah.
Leo. I lived through the I was in Iraq and I was in Afghanistan.
Right.
Both of the theaters. I lived there. I witnessed it, and I'm going to have to say the value that has and was and will continue to be created from 9/11 is the spirit that is born in you now, the spirit that is born in me now, to never, ever, while I'm alive, allow ourselves to be tricked again.
Yeah, maybe that's true. But look,
that spirit, that collective spirit that you have, that right now, I felt it. That is of tremendous value. A million people may have lost their lives, but, because those events happened, I don't think our humanity will ever. We've been awakened. The old has crumbled, and it's continuing to crumble, and from the ashes come the phoenix. The phoenix rise.
But you know what?
That's the value.
They're still doing it in Palestine right now. Yeah. Israel is committing genocide against the Palestinians. And the United States is sitting back, and all the people in the United States are sitting back going, oh, they're just Palestinian Arab terrorists. You know what I mean? Yeah, kill them all. All right?
Our government is financing.
And if you heard the earlier part of this show, I honestly believe that one-third of this country crawls on four legs. Okay, that same one-third that still approve of George Bush as president, all right? And they are Neanderthals, Anthony, and you can't save them. You can't save these people, all right? And, I'm sorry.
No one's expecting you to.
Well,
they have to evolve and save themselves. That's an individual's journey. You can't do anything.
I just hope to heck they finish it up and get it over with and just go get on with their ways.
Well, that's all well and good, but they're still affecting us.
I know.
Government. And that one-third of that government is in our government. I would say, probably our entire Congress walk on all fours, okay? They're nothing but complicit cowards, all right? Nothing's changed. All right, maybe Obama's moment of glory might change something, an attitude. But basically, you've still got a corrupt, complicit government. All right, and until you get them out of there, until you massively go in and eradicate these people, pull them the hell out, and put people who understand and create a new government. All right, you're going to have the same thing. You're going to have the same crap. You're going to have the same apathy, indifference, and corruption. It's not going to change. It hasn't changed in 200 years. It's not going to change. It hasn't changed in 2,000 years, right? And that's the problem we have today. So unless you get to the root of the problem and eradicate it, irradiate it, I don't care how you get rid of it, but you got to get rid of it. And until you do, until you get to the root of that cancer, you're not going to change anything. And that's the way I see it. It's not a negative way. It's positive. But I'm trying to say that we have to do it. We can't just say it's happening. I see a consciousness awareness coming, but I don't see the courage. I don't see the commitment. I don't see the will of the people to change this mess. All right?
And what we need is we need to get a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Get-out-of-jail-free card.
That's right.
Where do we get that?
I don't know. Maybe an alien culture will come down and give us one and take care of our problems for us.
It would be a good thing to have. Yes, we'd like to get out of this.
No,
free.
That's a way of ending it, but I think it's going to end by itself.
Well, you could be right, George.
Yeah, and it's just winding down. It's a matter of time. Just like I pray to God that this Palestinian issue over there with Israel comes to a head or ends soon, because it's been going on for too long, and we have to put an end to it sooner or later. And if nothing else, now is the time to do it. But hopefully, with as less bloodshed as possible.
There's the key right there.
The trick is just let it happen.
What do you mean, let it happen? I don't understand that.
Well, I think just let it go. Let both of them live in harmony together in the West Bank, or whatever they have to do. It's both their land.
It isn't both their land.
Look, they just killed three of the leading Hamas leaders. Now, the Hamas leaders are the elected government. That's like if they came in here and killed three of our elected officials in this country.
They were democratically elected.
Democratically elected.
As opposed to Israel, which is a theocracy.
Right.
I mean,
supposedly a democracy,
yeah.
And supposedly elected,
but
everybody on the everybody in the Likud, and everybody in the Knesset, and even Olmert, who's the president of Palestine, was supposed to have been is under indictment as we speak, and you know for sex crimes and corruption.
Oh, horrible! Their government is
so
such a mess.
So it's like you know this guy, and he's still leading these horrid. Horrid, horrid people, all right? The Israelis are out of their God-loving minds, all right, to think that what they're doing is in any way representative of God, okay, or godliness, okay? It's not. Okay?
I don't like to get involved with politics, and it's all a political game that's being played out.
Yeah.
My only concern is the people that are hurt or affected by this. Either side, you know, women, children, whole families, you know, they're all set in discord. It's
Look,
terrible.
I'm kind of bipolar here. What I do is I do a Tuesday, Wednesday night, I concentrate on politics, okay, on my FM show and on my radio show. Thursday and Friday night, I concentrate on esoteric issues. And the reason I do that is because I know that the political arena, okay, not only political, but the activist arena is where you make the changes and what is really happening around you and what is affecting you. But I also know that the esoteric area, the ethereal area, the spiritual area is what will take us from this negative area of political conspiracies and destruction and imperialism and colonialism and militarism and bring us up to a level. We have to infuse that with spirituality, infuse that with ascension consciousness, infuse that with the idea of saying, this is what's true, this is what's happening. This is the barbarism. This is the naked truth of what humanity is. Here is what we could be. Here is what we are and should be. This is what humanity should be. This is what it is. Okay? Let's take it to the highest level. And that's why I find myself in this bipolar existence of politics and esoteric knowledge. All right? And why... And I don't know. I can't seem to pull myself away from it as much as I try, as much as I strive toward the positive aspects of our existence, which there are many, and which I am here because of them. I still have to gaze upon the crap that's happening and see and understand the violations.
Of human rights, the violation of human dignity. It's also important to name it, because unless you name it, you say what it is.
Yeah, and our listeners are constantly stating they didn't know that, they didn't hear that, they didn't understand that. I have a listener in Massachusetts who listens to my show every week, and he, from what I stated to him about, it was so funny. Dunkin' Donuts is owned by the Carlyle Group. I don't know if you knew that or not.
But
the Carlyle Group is arms dealers. They're the biggest arms dealers in the world.
He now protests.
He went an opening, every opening of a Dunkin' Donuts franchise, this guy is out there in front of the store protesting, okay, and with a sign and everything, you know, showing, you know, owned by the Carlyle Group, you know what I mean? And he credits me every day for doing that because I
pointed him in that direction.
I pointed him in that direction. I told him the truth. He didn't know. Nobody knew about the Carlyle Group owning Dunkin' Donuts until I mentioned it on my show.
And
he heard
it,
and he couldn't believe
it.
He looked it up, and he followed up the source that I announced, and he went out and started protesting, and that protest created further protests and further awareness. So it's like, that's what we do, and that's why I feel that, you know, it's imperative.
Well, that's what he did.
Well, no, that's what he did, but
right.
That's what we did for him, all right?
Just that one little speck of information. We probably had many things that
yeah,
night,
many,
but, he,
and that's
but
just
that
one guy,
was
but,
meaningful
but there's many,
to him.
Many, many other people that have come to us. We didn't know this. Well, we're so glad you talked about the chemtrail issue. We're so glad you talked about this issue and that issue and brought this to us and brought that to us.
At what point do you let it go, though?
You don't. You continue. It's a continual process.
Why would you want to put yourself in a continued process like that when it's not going to benefit you?
Sure it does. It benefits me because I gain the knowledge of knowing that this is happening. All right? And then I can send that knowledge out through the broadcast mediums and other people know the truth.
Now, how does it benefit the guy that's out in front of Dunkin' Donuts with a sign?
He was pleased. I mean, this guy is an activist. He's an activist.
Well, what does he get out of it?
Well, whatever anybody gets out of standing in front of someplace protesting.
Maybe fewer people go into Dunkin' Donuts because they realize that they're
owned by this conglomerate.
By an arms dealer.
That's right.
And they don't want to give them their business. That's how you control where the money is.
It's no different than somebody standing and saying, I'm boycotting Israel.
Yeah, but what's the benefit of sitting out there holding a sign when you're not going to be, it's not going to affect you, it's going to affect the business because they're going to have a lack of customers. But, you know, what is it giving you? What are you getting out of it?
It's a corrupt business, okay? It's owned by a corrupt arms-dealing conglomerate, okay? I mean, I don't care if I have a Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and the guy who owns that franchise is a crook anyway, all right? I know the guy. He's a freaking crook. So he might as well have it, all right? You know? I mean, he overcharges for gas and everything else in that store. So it's like, oh, fine, I'm glad the guy went out there and protested that, all right? So it's like, as far as I'm concerned, he went after a bad guy, and that's what it is, okay?
And what did he get out of it? Nothing.
What?
So who's the stupid?
What?
So you should just let something bad continue because it doesn't benefit you personally?
Well, what do you get out of it?
I get the joy of knowing that the guy was out there in front of me.
All right, fine. And end it there. Why do you have to go out there and do more than that? You know, jump up and down and grab people's attention. What good is that going to do you?
Why does it have to?
Why are we doing this tonight, George? Are we even talking tonight? For what benefit is it for George Dixon to be on the L.A. Steel Show? What benefit is that?
I don't know.
The benefit is that people, in fact, 300 or 400 people, almost 400 people have checked out this the last episode of the George Dixon night.
I'm saying that, you know, let's be realistic here in reality here. I mean, you know, a protesting against something is fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong about it. We talked about Fox News last week. But I'm saying, you know, to what extent, if it's going to interfere with my life, it's a passing thing. Why would I want to give part of what I want away for something that I get nothing in return for?
But you got to understand, you do. It's part of this unity consciousness that we're talking about.
I would give them myself if you'd want in different ways, not like that. I mean, it's
No, George, you told us last week that how much you hated Fox News and what a terrible thing it was.
No,
right?
I was saying that I just don't like them. You carried on about how bad they were and this and that. I acknowledge it, but I'm just saying, in just using that as a focus point for all news. It's the same old stuff, yada, yada, yada. But
George, I was playing a segment where you attacked Fox News. you were very adamant about Fox News.
Yeah,
right?
Because that's the focus point, that's all.
But you brought it up. But the thing was is that what you did is you were warning. You were warning people who are listening to the show that Fox News is a slanted and biased news medium. And that and what they're saying, and I can almost
quote, to be suspect.
You have to suspect what they're saying because they have an ultimatum and an
ulterior motive.
And so do the others. So does CNN, and so does NBC, and so does CBS, and so does ABC. They all have ulterior motives. And that motive, those ulterior motives is to slant and censor the news and to sell product, okay, whatever that product is.
None of it would exist if we didn't give it our time and our energy. That's just the bottom line. You know, collectively, you know, people give that medium, whatever it is, you know, we're all vibrations. This is our third dimensional reality that we're talking in across this channel, and you know, we really are every one of us on this planet are spirits. We are all spirits, and our physicality is all vibrating together. And when we give attention to, and what we choose to give our attention to, is what we create. So that's why I choose not to tune into these frequencies and, you know, create content like we're doing here. You know, and the more that people get off that frequency, and the less, you know, and when it comes down to that protesting situation, it's, hey, that's what he chooses, and that's how he chooses to utilize his third dimensional frequency, and that's fine because that's the attention that he's bringing, and hopefully he's expanding the consciousness and expanding the attention of that arms dealer's corrupt donut physicality, whatever that is, corporation, and it crumbles because less people bring focus to it.
That's right. And it's a brave individual. And I know because I've been out there and I've seen them, and I've been to mass rallies in Washington and everywhere and elsewhere, and I've seen. And it takes a brave individual to stand by himself in front of a
very popular store,
very, very well populated traffic store, all right, and stand there with a huge sign with your child, with your teenage daughter and son, okay, who believe in what.
And you know, George taught me all that, by the way.
George taught you what?
Everything that I know.
George taught you everything? I don't think so.
Oh, but yes, he did. I mean, if it wasn't for the George Dixon Show, I wouldn't even know half the stuff I know.
You're far too humble. You're far too humble, believe me. I mean, you were in Iraq doing things that no one would be doing, you know, and no one.
I suspect you have a breadth of knowledge from all different places.
And far.
No, so I'm very serious. George awakened my consciousness and my understanding to the spiritual reality versus the third dimensional manifestation. And until I shifted that, I mean, George shifted that perspective for me and helped me to understand it. And then, of course, you know, then everything else kicked in from there.
He does. That's
great, Anthony. I'm glad to hear it, my friend. But, you know, it's like I'm just reminding you of something you already know, just like Lila knows and Leo knows, too. But it's a matter of just tapping into that. And you have, my friend, and it's because I've tapped into it, and I don't know where the hell it's coming from other than it's just part of the synchronicity that we are all meant to experience right now. And I'm loving it because I feel it with my heart, not with my head, because sometimes my head gets carried away with myself and I play too many games. But I know through my heart everything. I know through my heart what I feel is real. And I'm happy because I see that happening right now, and it's hopefully it will replace so much of this negativity that we attach to reality when really it's good.
Well, see, George, that's exactly what it is, as I'm saying. Once people start to understand things through their heart, start trusting their heart, start trusting their gut instinct, okay, and take the courage to speak out, take the courage to stand up against these things that are wrong.
You have to support what's right.
That is when they become one in themselves and one with a unity consciousness, if you will.
Right.
All right. It was like the Mother Teresa's and the Mahatma Gandhi's and the Martin Luther King's. These are the people that stood up and said, "This is wrong. This is wrong. We have to be here. We have to fix this.
We have to make
and
it.
And
we
have to make it through ourselves because no one else is going to make it. We have to show it and do it and become it. Okay. And Gandhi says you can't. The only way that you can make the change is to become the change yourself.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's what we are, and that's what we believe in. And Lila and I have been after this for 10 years. George, 10 years we've been working at this through television and radio and writing and lectures and seminars and everything else. And we've affected thousands and thousands and thousands, we know, of people's lives because we've given them information that they can use.
You have.
Really, thank you. People have thanked us personally. I mean, they've stopped Lila in the streets and said, "Thank you so much for that show. I didn't know this. I'm so happy to understand this. We didn't understand this."
You're appreciated, my friend.
Many things have happened because of this. When I first came to this area with my little television show, all right. This place was a Republican community. This whole part of the state was hardcore Republican. Within 2 years of seeing my programs on television,
not just you, times
Lila
just,
and I.
Don't
okay,
just create. Just don't.
No,
just
was it?
Yourself.
It was in 2000. in the 2004 election.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting there on election night at the radio
it's
station.
It's not just us. Don't
and the
be
entire,
like
no,
that.
The entire station, the entire community, went from Republican to Democrat by a landslide. Okay, we were the only influence in that community that made a difference.
Times had changed greatly.
No,
so
it
that
that
we,
was 2002,
I know it, Leo, look. He won't give me a chance to speak.
No, because you're wrong.
Just be quiet. Let someone else speak.
You won't pat yourself on the back ever.
Because it's not true. Of course, we affected part of it because we had media influence. We were on television.
Just be quiet, Leo.
And of course, we affected it. But we weren't the only reason. It's that synchronicity and the beginning of change, and that's what happens. It just takes a few voices, and more get added to it.
But at that time,
also one step in front of the other too, and that's what
that
you folks have been doing.
That was at a time when to be a voice,
just stepping,
to be a voice for change, to be a voice for liberalism, to be a voice of anti-war. Okay, you put your life in your hands to do that because people were so dead set against you. We had enemies up the yin yang. Okay, people calling us down, people calling us out, and whatnot for our stance.
Well, they got on television and they said you weren't patriotic if you didn't.
Oh, they called you a traitor.
They
called you everything else.
People traitors.
But we're still here and they aren't. And I'll tell you why, because we were telling the truth. We had the conviction to stand up, and we faced the community, and we gave the finger to whoever needed it, and we gave a pat on the back and a word of support for those who wanted it or who needed it, and that's why we're still in this community, and that's why we're still promoted, and we're still on the air after 6 years. We're one of the longest running independent liberal talk shows in America, guys, and that's hard to understand, but unless
you haven't
fought it. Okay, because nobody has lasted. They all get canned. We're on a commercial radio station. I mean, we're up against the big boys, and we're tops. We're actually tops in our in our market for our time. So that's good. And Arbitron ratings are great for us, all right? And and everybody mimics our program. Even the major 50,000-watt stations in Connecticut have mimicked our program.
He's exaggerating.
You know they have.
No, he's exaggerating.
You know they have. In fact, they took that guy off. All right, they do it. They want
They're
to take it.
They're exaggerating,
Leo. See, Lila is so humble that she refuses. she's the one that people come up to all the time and say, "I love you on the show." Love you. You know, they don't come up to me because they're afraid of me. But you know, because I usually go through these rants on my programs. But nevertheless, we've brought them the truth. We've brought them incredible shows, and because of that, it's changed the opinions of hundreds of thousands of people, because that's how large our audiences are. So, you know, from that, you know, that's why we do it, George, and that's why we continue to do it, because when we bring out truth and when we bring out, discuss these issues, even like yourself, you realize, you know, we've had over, right now we're almost at 30,000 listeners in the last couple of years for this this broadcast,
mm-hmm.
right? And the majority of those listeners, George, have come in the last year and a half, all right, because we've had you on the show. On the Friday night shows are our most popular times. And, you know, we had 300, 400, 500, 600, 800, sometimes 700, 800 people who listened to this program over the course of the week.
Well, Leo, what's good about it the last year and a half or so, you know, in following politics and the news and so forth, we were able to go through the Mayan calendar step by step and actually break down and see it for what it is.
But it's this study, George, that we're doing and this conversation that we've been doing.
Yeah, but it's also covering the news and the events of the time and so forth.
That's
and
our
understanding
show, right?
It or acknowledging them for what they are and what's being played out.
Yeah.
And you folks have been very good with that, you know, in talking about this.
Yeah.
There was almost a poetic, synchronistic message in the flock of birds, the two flock of birds that brought the airplane down to manifest the miracle for the to set the pace for our new year. And it was a few shows back we talked about that flock of birds.
That's right.
We did.
In your area, that's right. I remember.
And you. I just wanted to bring the attention, you know, to the flow of events and the flow of consciousness and the flow of reality that is so important to understand why your show is so important, Mr. George. Very important.
I told you about the flock; it was an omen, didn't I, Anthony?
Yes, you did.
And you know it's you know I'm not predicting or anything. I'm just saying, you know, something like that, how it stands up, it's an omen. It's great, and what you're saying is right, because the synchronicity is right to the point, Anthony. It's the omen.
And it is. I mean, and actually, there's a I don't remember exactly where I remember hearing it. I think even Nietzsche and Dyshonin But wise men know omens just as snakes know the way of snakes.
There you go.
But anyway, it's you know, it's 9:30, guys, and we love you to death. It's actually 9:42, but
George and Leo, if you don't mind, I wanted to let you know I have a very, very important guest on Monday. She's
right.
The president. She's the brand new president of the Institute of Noetic Sciences, and
okay.
It's just, you know, I just find it very fitting the day before the our presidential inauguration that the president of the Institute of Noetic Sciences is going to be talking about the course and the direction that they'll be taking the transformative consciousness of the world, in what direction they'll be taking the transformative consciousness of the world, and also explaining some of the decade-long research that they've been doing on consciousness. So it's going to be a very interesting show. Her name is Marilyn Mandela Schlitz. She's the new president of IONS.
All right. And what time is that?
It'll be 9 o'clock. 10 o'clock Eastern on 6 degrees.
Okay.
So
10 o'clock. On 6 degrees.
And that's Monday night?
Yes, sir. And she, I would love for any one of you all to come on and ask her a question, because she will be entertaining questions. And today, just briefly, I know the show is running over, but we had our little pre-show talk, and I asked her a few little questions. We're not going to talk politics, but just yes, 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 transformative consciousness will play a huge part on the world stage this year.
All right.
Great.
Good to know.
Right. Yeah, I'll try to listen in. I'm going to be on the road Monday night, but I'll try to do my best to tune into you. If not, I'll get you on the archives.
All right.
Yeah.
And I will try to get to you on Monday night. All right? So
well, thank you.
We thank you. And it sounds like a great show. So thanks, guys, for being on, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Lila.
Anthony, we'll try to talk to you on Monday.
All right. Thank you, Lila. I love Lila because she keeps us so grounded.
Yeah.
God bless you both. And yeah. Anthony, you also. Good night now.
So we're talking here, but she says good night, folks. So have a good night. And ciao. And we thank everybody for joining us. And please join us again next Wednesday. And tell your friends about this, and you can pick us up on the on the archives. So good night, everybody, and thank you for listening, and have a pleasant evening.